The debate today is about law and order issues. It is about a series of measures that I and the government believe are practical measures about cooperating, law enforcement agencies cooperating across Europe, things like the prisoner transfer framework, which enables us to remove prisoners from UK jails back into their home country, things like something called ECRIS, which enables us to exchange criminal records, which will make it easier for us to keep criminals out of the United Kingdom. And on the European arrest warrant, I think it's important that we have a suitable extradition arrangement with other member states in the European Union to ensure that where a criminal has, somebody has committed an offence and tried to escape justice by moving to another country, we're able to extradite them. So tonight's debate is not about changes in Europe. There are many ways in which Europe needs to change, but they are about law and order issues, which are very practical and make a real difference to our law enforcement agencies.
But it is the European arrest warrant that perhaps is the focus of a lot of concern amongst Conservative backbenchers and others. And their particular concerns are, well, there's a whole raft of them. Let's deal with some. First of all, that actually the way it's been used in cases that really shouldn't have gone near it.
Well, the European arrest warrant, you're absolutely right, has caused concern over time, and particularly when it was first introduced. People were worried about how it was being operated. But the European arrest warrant we're talking about being part of from now is not the European arrest warrant as it was when it was originally negotiated under the last Labour government, because we have made changes in our own laws that mean that we have dealt with some of the issues that have been really of concern to people.
And those changes have been in place since July.
Those changes kicked in July, yes. They were introduced in an Act of Parliament that we brought in the last parliamentary session, and they actually kicked in July. And since those changes kicked in, things like proportionality, because one of the big concerns in the past was that people were being extradited under the European arrest warrant for what people here would have considered to have been more minor or trivial offences that perhaps wouldn't normally lead to a custodial sentence here in the United Kingdom. Well, we've now introduced a proportionality test, and we have seen cases being rejected on the basis of that proportionality test.
Yeah, I don't know. I spoke to Dominic Raab earlier, Conservative MP, and he and others are not reassured by the changes, because their argument is, or part of their argument is, that in ensuring that these safeguards apply, it's the European Court of Justice rather than UK courts who will be putting those safeguards into place.
Well, what we have done in UK legislation is to insert processes in the system that mean that people here in the UK are taking decisions about proportionality, taking decisions about UK judges will take decisions about whether when an arrest warrant is requested for an individual who's here in the UK, whether or not the case is actually ready to be taken to charge and trial, so that somebody isn't languishing in a jail somewhere for many months before they're actually being charged and trialled.
And in truth, we haven't got a long enough track record on that to know whether it's working effectively.
Well, what we've seen is already some European arrest warrants being rejected as a result of the direct decisions the government's taken as a result of the changes we have made. So I think we've already got examples where we can say people who previously, under the old arrangement, would have been extradited, would have been passed to another country, actually are now not being, because of the changes that the government has made.
Do you agree with those, like Damian Green, who say that not opting back into it, which is the process effectively, would make us a less safe country, that actually we'd end up being a magnet for people who wanted to escape justice in Europe? Would you go as far as saying that?
Well, these are, as I say, these are practical law and order measures, and they're about helping to protect the public, to keep us safe.
Yes, but on the arrest warrant, I'm just wondering if you'd go that far. It's not an argument I've seen you make, but others, colleagues of yours, are making it. Are they overstating it?
Let me put it this way, if I may. If we had a situation where we didn't have an extradition arrangement with other countries inside the European Union, and you were a criminal and committed offence in another country inside the European Union, where do you think you might make for if you were trying to evade justice? I think you'd probably go to the country where there wasn't an extradition arrangement. And if we don't have the European arrest warrant, that would be the UK.
The other argument that is made by those who don't like this is that actually the whole point of this is just a stepping stone on the part of Europe. They want a pan-European system of justice. We don't. So now is surely the time to say, OK, this is it. We don't want that. We'll leave you to get on with that. Let's have our own separate arrangement.
Well, this is not about a pan-European system of justice. These are about some practical arrangements that help our police work with others better to deal with criminals and bring criminals to justice. Of course, there are those in Europe who are looking at issues around a pan-European justice system. There are other measures, like the European Public Prosecutor's Office, which might go down that road. But we have been very clear, both as a Conservative Party, but also as a coalition, a government, we've been very clear that we will not be part of that, because we do not want to see a pan-European justice system. What we want to see is an ability for UK law enforcement to be part of measures that enable them to work more efficiently and effectively with other police forces across Europe to ensure that criminals are being brought to justice.
One of your predecessors, the Labour Home Secretary Charles Clarke, had to resign when it was found how many foreign criminals were not being deported. Now, the National Audit Office did a check on how the Home Office was operating now. And at that stage, of course, it was John Reid who came in and said it wasn't fit for purpose. When the National Audit Office looked at this a couple of weeks ago, they said basically there'd been, despite there being a tenfold increase in the Home Office budget, there had been very slow, if any, progress on deporting foreign criminals. Is it acceptable?
Well, one of the things that the National Audit Office said was that over the last 2 years, they had seen improvement in the way we were dealing with things. And the reason for that is that I have actually changed the way we deal with these issues in the Home Office. The system I inherited from the last government with the UK's border agency was frankly in a mess. This ran across the whole of the immigration system and the system for dealing with foreign national offenders within that. What I did is made a number of changes. I've split up the UK's Borders Agency. I abolished it, split it up. We're now focusing more closely on the issues like immigration enforcement in terms of removing foreign national offenders. But dealing with this system, if I could just finish, because dealing with this system will take time. It's not something that can be changed.
You mean it's not good
enough yet? It's not something that can be absolutely changed
overnight. Because the figures are remarkable. The figures have hardly shifted since Charles Clarke resigned.
We have seen improvements in the way that we are doing this since we've made the changes, but there is more to be done. And what we find is that sometimes in the cases of foreign national offenders, there are some legal issues about how we can deport them from the United Kingdom. There are practical issues. We've still got to make some changes within the Home Office and deal with some of the barriers we still face in being able to ensure that the system is absolutely as we want it to be. That will continue to take some time.
OK, now one of the... You came to power with the promise from the Conservatives that they would get immigration down to tens of thousands. Now, you're clearly 4 years on, just ahead of a general election, not going to have anywhere near met that. We have, of course, the rise of UKIP. Do you think that what is happening with the European Union, what I suppose has always happened, makes it impossible for the Conservatives to honour that promise? Do you blame the European Union for that?
Well, when we made that comment, when we said our aim was that what we
didn't
wanted
want to
use
to the do, word promise there. Wasn't
well,
it a promise?
We said we would be aiming to bring the net migration down to the tens of thousands, and we wanted to do that within this Parliament. Yes, we were very clear that was what we wanted to do. And the reason we said that was because we felt that the levels of the tens of thousands, which was the level of net migration we'd seen in the 1990s, was more sustainable than the levels that we'd seen previously.
So it's unsustainable now. And is the European Union to blame for that?
I'm going to come on to the European Union point. Because what we have seen is that from outside the EU, we've changed all the ways that the routes of immigration into the UK. And we have seen levels of net migration from outside the EU coming down to the 1990s.
I know, I'm asking specifically about the European Union. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to focus you on the question, which is, with regard to the European Union, do you blame the EU for the fact that you haven't met your target?
And I was going to come on to that, because I think it's important to look at the whole context of what has happened. So where it's outside the EU, we've brought it down to the levels of the 1990s that we said we would bring overall net migration down to. The issue is free movement within the European Union, but we've been very clear that this is an issue that we wish to deal with. We think there should be changes in relation to the way that free movement operates. David Cameron's been very clear about that. He's said that he's going to be speaking more about this before the end of the year. And what I have seen over the last few years, because I've been talking about free movement for some time in Europe, what I've seen is a growing recognition from other countries that actually there are issues around
abuse of
free
movement. Seriously, because actually all that we've heard over the last few days has been that other countries are being very clear in their support for freedom of movement. The Finnish Prime Minister, freedom of movement principle is rather sacred. Swedish Prime Minister, the fact that one country believes one thing is wrong does not mean that we can change, because every country might have its own priorities and that may just ruin the European Union.
Well, they have been clear about the principle of free movement. I wouldn't expect people to be anything otherwise. We're going to be going into a negotiation. We're going to be going into a negotiation which would lead to a referendum in 2017. That's what we as a Conservative Party want to do if we're in government at the next election. You wouldn't expect everybody to be giving everything away to us
sure,
at this stage.
Sure, but I wonder how it is, what you can negotiate, what the options are that you can tinker with freedom of movement and still have it as sacred and yet satisfy what the Conservatives want.
Well, we've already been able to make some changes to it, and these are already in operation. For example, we have changed the time somebody is required to be here before they can claim benefits, so they
but
can't just walk
it?
In and
I
claim
mean,
benefits.
I thought you were wanting more changes than what you've already done.
We will be clear about the sort of changes that we want to see in the future.
Trying to think of what options there are.
Well, a number of options have already been set out, but David Cameron's very clear. He's going to be speaking about this before the end of the year. But you made the point you were making to me about was whether it was possible to get any changes. And the reason I exemplified what we've done, well, I spoke about what we've done already, was to show that it is possible to get change in this area. And there is, as I say, a growing concern across the European Union of the way in which free movement is now being used. We're seeing it being abused. We're seeing it being abused possibly by criminal gangs who are trafficking human beings. We're seeing it being abused through sham marriages. There are a number of issues there which we are already working on. But we're very clear that this is an issue that we do want to see further change on.
The Conservative MP Matt Hancock said, I think, in the last 24 hours, if you want to get a better price for the carpet, you have to be prepared to walk out of the souk. And is that how you feel?
Well, what I feel is that what we should be doing is going into a negotiation and being very clear that we want to negotiate a reform package of our relationship with the European Union and then put that into the...
And if you don't get it, would you be happy to sign up to Brexit, to Britain leaving the European Union?
Well, what I take a very simple view about these things, Sarah, which is that you go into a negotiation aiming to get what is going to be in the British national interest. I want to see that done.
And if you don't get it?
I want to see that done, and the package that comes out will then be put to the British people.
Theresa May, thank you very much.